Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on this Thursday, November the 12th. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman, and my co-hosts today include Ed Vitagliano. That's your cue, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Usually you say good morning, Ed. I say good morning, Tim.
Yes.
I'm a creature of routine.
Okay, I'll try to remember that next time. Walker Wildman.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
Walker is in today because Brother Ray Pritchard is. Where is Ray? Do we know?
He's traveling.
Traveling.
Preaching God's word.
Yes,
across
he is.
The fruited plains.
He is his daytime job is as a Bible teacher.
Right.
He was a pastor for many years, and he has a great website, keepbelieving.com. Check it out, keepbelieving.com. Don't know where Brother Ray is, but as the weather gets colder, he usually feels the Lord calling him to go south. It's uncanny.
Yes, it really is.
How that works. Fred Jackson, our Canadian American.
Who's never been warm.
The northerner who came south.
Canadian American.
I think I saw that on the Hallmark Channel one time at a movie. Hey, and the northerner came south and fell in love with a southern girl, wasn't it? Isn't that the way it worked?
That's your life.
He married a Mississippi girl, too.
Both of y'all did.
We did.
That's right. That's right.
Yankees. We saw the promised land.
Speaking of
the
TV.
The promised women.
Speaking of. You're already on fire, Ed. You're rolling, man. Speaking of TV, I was excited.
Were we?
You said a movie.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Or something like that.
I've already moved past it.
I found Columbo.
Oh, I love Columbo, man.
I found Columbo, and so I'm recording it now.
Where did you?
You know, I knew you'd ask that question. I'll look tonight and see where I found it.
I've told you before, that is a voice I wish I could figure out how
Peter
to imitate. Wouldn't you love to go up to... You know, go to a little convenience store and you put your hand in your head and where are the Diet Cokes?
Do it. Walker, you got to watch one episode
of Columbo.
Isn't it true that they have his car and his raincoat in a museum somewhere?
I'm sure. He was on television. That character was on for like 30 years.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
He passed away a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
Peter Falk did. All right, so much to talk about today happening in our world, and we thank you for listening. If you want to join us on the Internet, Walker, what do folks need to do?
AFR.net is the website where you can listen live. We also have an app you can download on your mobile device. Go to the App Store, type in AFR. And lastly, we're on social media, Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook and YouTube.
All right, Fred, go ahead.
Well, it appears to be payback time at the old Democrat Corral. You know, over the last year or two, we've been talking about Black Lives Matter, other far-left elements of the Democratic Party saying that, we're going to help you get elected, but we expect something in return. Well, we have news on several fronts this morning on that issue. Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors has written a letter to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And basically, we want in the door now. We helped you get elected. And in fact, in the letter that she wrote, she says, and I'm quoting here, in short, black people won this election, end quote. And so now we want to be part of your transition team. Now, some of the things you may remember that they are demanding, they want police oversight boards, to oversee police departments, civilian.
From a federal level.
They also, and Biden even promises to create an economic plan that provides housing, education, financial support to black and Latino communities, who they say have been disproportionately affected by the coronavirus pandemic. But in her letter, The big thing basically is this. We would like to be actively engaged in your transition team's planning and policy work. Let's get to work, end quote. They want a place at the table now.
Walker, why wouldn't they?
No, that they deserve a place at the table if you're a Democrat, because look, that Joe Biden and his surrogates have spoken favorably upon the BLM movement and the BLM organization. So, you know, for Biden to not allow them at the table would be hypocritical.
Oh, yeah, so he will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, this is the way. First of all, this is the way the swamp works. You know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. That's the way politics has been for thousands of years. And whenever there is food in the trough, you call all the farm animal. I don't know where I'm going with this metaphor. Yeah, all the farm animals.
You're on your own, Ed.
Yeah.
You're on your own.
Listen, this is the Democratic Party especially is beholden to a patchwork of constituents. So you have this group, you have this group, you have this group. They all worked together to defeat Donald Trump. If that happens, that still has not been officially declared. If that happens, that patchwork of groups is all going to demand payback. And here's the thing, though. If Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, gives BLM, Patrice Cullors or somebody else or the group, a place at the table, then they have to own what BLM stands for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they have to own whatever Patrice Cullors says.
That's your last name?
They will Cullors, be adopting the Defund the Police movement.
Yes.
As part
yes.
of their transition policy.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Walker, that's interesting. Do you think they will? I don't think
Well, if you bring in the leading group of Defund the Police in your transition, that's de facto adopting their policy. If you're letting them,
yes, but Joe Biden has said he is against that, and that he is the.
He said they're going to reallocate the funds.
Yes.
What he said,
mm.
and then
you're correct.
And then if he does try to distance himself from the positions held by BLM, which I agree, I think he will try to distance himself at least in terms of the words he says, then he is inviting infighting as soon as his administration begins.
Well, it's going to happen right. before then. It's going to happen right. like tomorrow.
Right.
Joe Biden does whatever's best for Joe Biden politically. So during the primary, he raises his hand, I want to defund the police or, quote, reallocate the funds. I'm for open borders. I'm for amnesty for everyone. So on. Everything Bernie Sanders is for, I'm for. That was Joe Biden. Hmm. Then he gets into the general, well, I think I like fracking. I think we're going to
yes,
keep fracking.
Exactly.
So it's all about what's best for Joe Biden and when it comes to the potential transition here.
Let me just say this, though, with respect to politics, and you mentioned this, Ed. Any group that supports a candidate on the right or the left has an expectation that their concerns, their cause, their mission is going to be promoted to some extent.
Right. But then you have
Listen, I voted for President Trump, and Christians did by the millions 4 years ago. Why? Because he said, I'm going to appoint pro-life justices and pro-life judges and conservatives.
Right.
Well, all those Christians that voted expected him to follow through with that promise. I'm saying, so I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with groups wanting their place at the table once they've been successful in winning an election.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Here's the rub for Joe Biden, again, if he becomes president, is that candidate Trump promised, let's use your example for evangelicals, promised things to the evangelical community. He became president and he carried those out. And we said, good job. We applauded. Joe Biden is making promises to groups like Black Lives Matter. And so now they're wanting payback. He has to either give Black Lives Matter, a revolutionary, radical Marxist group, what they ask for. And thus he has to defend implementing Marxist policies,
right.
or he says no to them, and has to own that fallout.
This is the fight we've been talking about.
Yes.
So this is the fight we've been talking about. And so it's one thing if Joe Biden all along said, I want to defund the police.
Right.
I am far banning oil drilling or fracking. And then he gets in office and he does what he said. But the problem here is that he faces is he's gone back and forth. He went from very liberal, very radical during the primary to moderate during the general. And then now we're going to the White House. So which side is he going to pick?
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be a war inside the Democrat Party. It already is. You're talking about Elizabeth Warren. She's weighing in today saying Biden needs to bypass Congress and impose everything by executive order.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You've got Bernie Sanders saying we're ready to implement everything that we're for because Biden said he was for it too.
Would you like to hear from Bernie Sanders? Interviewed on CNN.
Oh, man,
who
awesome.
Who wouldn't?
He interviewed on CNN yesterday.
I haven't heard that voice in a while. That crotchety voice.
And not only will he's going to be fighting for the progressive agenda, he's talking about accepting a position with the Biden cabinet. Have a listen to this. Cut number three.
If your question is, do I expect that the Biden administration will do everything that Bernie Sanders believes? No, I don't. But do I expect that they will come forward and keep their word in maintaining and legislating on the proposals which we agree to? Yes, I do.
Let me ask you about these reports, and I'm sure you've seen them, that potentially you might be eyeing a position in President-elect Biden's cabinet, labor secretary, for example. Is that true?
Well, what's true is I want to do everything I can. If I had a portfolio that allowed me to stand up and fight for working families, would I do it? Yes, I would.
Now, imagine for a moment if Bernie Sanders is offered that job of labor secretary, the impact that that's going to have on the economy of this country. Labor secretary has incredible power across the country. Can you imagine that he's going to say to companies, if you want federal contracts, you're going to have our non-discrimination policy, or you're not going to get any federal contracts. Oh, by the way, I think a living wage is this, $15, $16 bucks an hour. You got to pay your workers even starting at that level. I tell you what, it would be an absolute revolution in this country with regards to how he could rule the workplace and change the economy of this country.
Should Biden get in the White House, I don't know if he's gonna have to pick. Like we've said, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts snubbing some of the radicals in the Democrat Party. You know, but that in itself is going to be a problem for him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, get me the popcorn.
I know.
Because I'm gonna really enjoy that fight.
If you tell Bernie Sanders,
that's a pay-per-view right there.
No, you're not welcome, and you're not going to be in my cabinet. Then that starts party infighting. But if he lets him in and he starts doing radical stuff, then he's going to have to own it.
What he's likely to do here, and you know I'm mostly right on these kind of things. What he's likely to do here is put somebody in charge of this cabinet position that Bernie Sanders was just talking about that basically believes like Bernie Sanders but is not a lightning rod. That would be and so you meet with Bernie Sanders and say, look, man, we need you in the Senate. Okay, you need to stay independent of the administration so you can be out there doing your, doing your rallying call. But guess what? We're going to put your ideological twin in this role, and so you can be on the phone with him every day, all day. Now, one thing you do that Biden administration, should it come to pass, we understand, folks, that you know votes are still being counted out there across the country, and I'm not in favor of President Trump conceding at this point. We've got a week or two at least of litigation that needs to be. Mm-hmm. Presented to the courts to see how much voter fraud is out there. And Georgia is going to do a manual recount. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Where was I going? What was I talking about? Colombo?
the Biden administration and who their cabinet positions are.
If he gets into office.
Oh, yes. If he gets into office, you have to have this as a consideration 2022 House races.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
2022 Senate races. By the way, I was looking the other day. I was shocked to find out that the Republicans, once again, this next cycle, will have like twice as many senators, incumbent senators, in reelection races as Democrats, which is what we had now, November the 3rd. So it's going to be, I guess, 4 years from now before the reverse is true, where Democrats are more at risk than Republicans. But I'm just saying that, Walker, Ed, and Fred, if you get in there and you start doing crazy liberal stuff that is unpopular with the American people and does start to slow down the economy, then you're going to risk losing the House of Representatives in 2 years, is what I'm saying. So, but to me, this is the be careful what you wish for, because if you're Joe Biden, because he has got a referee now. The guy doesn't have the energy to do this, to do what's about to be required. Of course, the American public knew that when they voted the other day. I'm talking about the physical, the mental energy to be able to. On one hand, he's going to have to be refereeing all these fights in his own party,
right?
And that's real, and we're seeing that manifest itself right now.
He's
the Republicans.
Yeah, he's 78 years old. So here's the way I see it shaking out. He's 78 years old. He knows he's not running for reelection in 4 years, 2024. No, this is it. I think he might say. I think it maybe was Walker that suggested this. He might say to the radical left, listen, I'm not playing ball. You can't touch me. I'm not running for re-election. I mean, he wouldn't say this out loud, but in his mind he's thinking, I don't need these people to get re-elected.
I am the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Now, on the other side, I would say someone like Bernie Sanders is in the same boat. He doesn't want to have to – why does he have to say in the Senate? Same thing with Elizabeth Warren. These two, especially Bernie Sanders, who's getting up there in age as well, he may say, no, I want to make a mark on the economy. I want to lead the revolution I started. And so I want a position that is going to give me that power. Well, and Elizabeth Warren and some of these others are going to say, no, listen, I'm part of the standard bearers that brought it. I stepped out of the race so that you could be elected. And so that's going to be the juggling act that Biden's going
to
have.
If I were Biden, I'd say to Elizabeth Warren, listen, I'm going to create a new cabinet position for you. Secretary of Native American Wannabes. And you can what?
You don't nothing,
think,
no, that's,
you think she would be happy with that?
Well, it would be the creation of an entirely new department in the federal government, so yes.
That's what Democrats are about,
creating a
new federal bureaucracy.
That's right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Fred, next story.
Yeah, you know what will change the mind of a radical leftist?
What, Fred?
Reality. Got an example of that for you. Her name is Joanne Hardesty. She is a Portland City Commissioner. All right? Part of the radical left out there in Portland, Oregon, not Maine. Portland, Oregon.
Right.
All right. Wants to defund the police. We don't need those police. We could save a lot of money. We just have a bunch of social workers. Well, the other day, she called up and she got she needed a drive with Lyft, one of those hiring.
Kind of like Uber.
All right. So she gets in the car. They're driving along, and the driver of the Lyft vehicle has his window down. All right. Well, apparently she didn't like the driver having his window down, and she starts a debate with the driver. And the driver says, fine, if you don't like me having my window down, I'm going to stop by here at the gas station. You can get right out of my car right now. You know what the response from Joanne Hardesty was? She picked up her cell phone, and she dialed 911. Have a listen. Cut 4.
911, what's your emergency?
Well, I got a Lyft driver that decided he would just drop me off at a filling station and he wants me to get out, and I'm not getting out of the car in the dark at a filling station. Not happening. All because I asked him to put the window up, but I'm not leaving. He says I have to get out of his car, or he's calling the police, so I decided to call for help.
Okay. I mean, technically it's his property and you have a civil agreement. There's no crimes involved.
Well, he said he was calling the cops. I told him he's not going to believe me.
It's not a crime to call the cops.
Reality strikes.
What was awesome. What happened? What did she have to get out?
Well, I suppose.
Because a Lyft driver and an Uber driver, they own the vehicle.
Right? That's right.
This is not a cab, you know, cab driver driving a company's cab.
Get out of my car.
Get out of my car.
But she had the audacity.
Right.
Defund the police.
To call the police.
To call 911, which is an emergency number. You're being attacked by someone.
On a taxi dispute.
Someone's breaking into your home. She calls 911 over dispute of a roll down window.
Did you hear the dispatcher?
Oh, I loved it.
He's like, okay. Why did I come into work today?
He didn't even bother even dispatching anyone.
Right.
He
said, no.
I'm going to handle this myself.
He told her, the Uber driver, the Lyft driver's right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's technically his property.
Yes.
Steve Jordahl texted and said they did send the cops. So,
oh my goodness!
So the police in Portland, they've probably been through. They get some guy or gal, some man or woman, police officer. Hopefully, they're sending them out 2x2 nowadays because it's so dangerous. They get there and they have to settle that. That's like kids on a playground.
You know, I wish that dispatcher had known who was calling. I would say, we'll send a social worker right over, ma'am.
Send a social worker. Listen, that is we've been noting this hypocrisy on the part of those who call for defunding the police all along here for the last whatever it is year plus.
Remember that actress Alyssa Milano?
Yeah.
What, about a month ago? She hashtagged defund the police.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody was on her property. I've forgotten what the exact, but somebody was on her property with some kind of a gun. They weren't a threat. It was something that was going on. But her husband called the police.
Were they hunting? Was that where they were hunting?
Something
on her property,
bird hunting or something. I've forgotten exactly what it was. But the hypocrisy was she's hashtag defund the police, but yet when somebody came on her property they thought was a threat, her husband calls 911.
And I think to save face, Alyssa Milano said something about my husband and I have a difference of opinion or something about that.
It wasn't me. It was my husband. But you know, anyway, defund the police is insane.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. Mm-hmm. Even those, I think a lot of those who say defund the police, they know that when push comes to shove or rubber hits the road or reality hits them, they call the police. It's like that fella, this is about 25, 30 years ago. His name was Carl Rowan. He was a columnist for the Washington Post.
Right. Very liberal guy.
Very liberal guy, and he was for gun control. And yet when some teenage boys came running through his backyard in his pool area one night, I don't know if they were drinking or what, but guess what he did? He got out a gun.
It was illegal.
An illegal gun.
Yes.
Because he had championed getting rid of the Second Amendment, gun control.
Right.
But when they came to his house.
Yes, sir.
He found a gun that he was hiding.
Yeah.
So because
you can't get one in D.C.
Right.
Very rarely.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. We're going to take a short time out right here. Walker, Ed, Fred, and Tim. We're with you today. We've got another half hour here with Fred. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree, kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's
What's the question, Ed?
How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday.
Woo!
Every American ought to visit George Washington's Mount Vernon estate south of Washington, D.C. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going to Mount Vernon on one of our spiritual heritage tours coming up in June and September 2021. Wanted to let you know about these tours already because they will fill up quick. So, for all the information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. We're going to be going to Yorktown, Jamestown, and Williamsburg as well on a separate trip. So much rich American history there to be experienced. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a nationally noted historian, and he's going to be with us along the way. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Former President Barack Obama will publish a new book later this month, A Promised Land. CNN obtained an advance copy. What they found is disturbing. The book is a sweeping condemnation of white people in America. In one excerpt, Mr. Obama actually said his presence in the White House triggered a deep-seated panic, a sense the natural order had been disrupted. Mr. Obama then rendered judgment on the American people, writing that millions of you had been spooked by a black man in the White House. He said President Trump promised an elixir for your racial anxiety. The truth is, the nation's anxiety about Mr. Obama had nothing to do with the color of his skin, but everything to do with his politics. He fundamentally transformed our nation, pushing us down the path towards socialism. Based on his writings, it seems as if Mr. Obama is the one who harbors racist tendencies, judging people not by the content of their character, but by the color of their skin. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Come, we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. So goes the first verse of that lively and familiar older hymn of the faith. We're marching to Zion. We've recently been closing our staff devotional time with this hymn, and I've been truly blessed by it. Just think of the beautiful call its author, Isaac Watts, gives to the people of God. As we march through this wicked world on our way to that heavenly shore, let us gather in praise, sharing our love for God with one another. While here on earth, we are yet surrounding the throne of God with praise, letting our joys be made known to all. Join us in praise. This is a Decency Minute.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed, Walker, and Fred. If you want to join us on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. And you can watch the live streaming from our studios here in Tupelo, Mississippi. We're on 181 stations across the good old U.S. of A. that we own and operate. And then thousands and thousands of folks listen each day on the AFR app, which you can download in 60 seconds or less. And then listen anywhere in the world that has high-speed internet. Fred Jackson is our news director here. Tell them about One News Now, Fred.
OneNewsNow.com, OneNewsNow.com. It is the sister in print entity here that we have in American Family Association, sister to our American Family Radio News. And you can go there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, get caught up on all the latest news. And I tell you what, it's been a challenge lately to be covering the election and the result of the election, the results that we know so far. But we're doing our very best to give you accurate information, folks, unlike most of the mainstream media. We're giving you accurate information as to what's going on out there. And by the way, if you would like a daily delivery right in your email box, you can go to onenewsnow.com over on the right-hand side, and you can sign up for our daily news brief. We'll give it to you once a day, absolutely free, give you all the latest news from a Christian perspective.
Walker, you've been keeping up with Georgia. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, Georgia is the separation between Joe Biden and Donald Trump is around 10,000 votes, 10 to 15,000 votes, and they're heading into a manual recount according to Georgia state law. So the Georgia Secretary of State has announced that in the coming weeks, they will be probably actually next week, they will be beginning a manual recount of the entire state of Georgia. So that'll be interesting.
Do you know how this happens? And maybe somebody can post on our Facebook page who lives in Georgia. Because the way I described it yesterday, Allison, my wife, and I were talking last night, and she said, I don't think the recount is like you think it is. And she was just being encouraging to me to do more research. She wasn't.
Right.
But what I envision, and I know this is not the way it happens, but I envision, you know, ballots, pulling out a million,
5 million.
5 million ballots.
Nearly.
And going and picking them up and going, Biden.
Right.
Putting it down. Trump, putting it down. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way it happens. Right? Somebody tell me that's not the way it
happens. No, that is. Yeah, I mean, that's what a hand recount is.
So you're telling me. No, you're not. You're telling
me. If there's a paper ballot, that's what they would do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about the scanned ones?
Well, those are paper too. That when they say hand recount, my understanding of a manual hand recount is
just how I described it.
Yes,
right.
Wow, and you got 5 million,
just thereabouts, almost 5 million.
But remember, you have I don't know how many counties are in Georgia, probably dozens. Yeah, at least dozens. But you got poll workers at each location.
Is that who's going to count these?
Yeah, so you have entire people that's all they do all day is count ballots.
What a life.
So it takes time.
That's not for me. I'll tell you, go ahead.
It takes time, but it's doable. I mean, recounts are not uncommon at all. Recounts happen every election in certain states.
The Secretary of State actually says it should be done by next Friday.
5 million, though. Okay.
Are you serious?
Do we have a cut or a clip from him?
No, but okay. I was reading yesterday because a lot of people have the same questions as you folks. What happens is they will separate out, for Biden, for Trump, and then a machine will, after they review those ballots, machine actually does the counting.
So they just slide it in.
A manual separation and then.
Yes.
And then you.
Yeah,
and they check the ballots to make sure they are legitimate.
Ballots will have human eyes on every ballot, and then a machine is actually going to do the count after that.
Okay. And the Secretary of State in Georgia is Brad Raffensperger. I just like saying his name.
Yes.
Brad Raffensperger.
Yeah.
How many times have I told you? Sharpen your pencil before class.
He's a Republican, but there's a lot of Republicans upset with him.
Yes.
In Georgia.
He came out. A lot of people were frustrated because of how long it took them to wrap up Fulton County. He came out like a Thursday after the election and said, we're going to have this thing wrapped up by this evening. And they counted votes for like into the weekend.
That's Atlanta.
Fulton County. So there was some frustration that they couldn't get that wrapped up by then. And they misplaced the military ballots. They had to find those somewhere.
Misplaced them.
They were late. They were late arriving or something, so they didn't. Mm-hmm. They just counted those this weekend, I believe, the absentee military ballots.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is, if you're going to do a manual recount like I described it, Biden, write it down.
Right.
You know, mark, cross.
Well, but they're not going to do that. But that is funny.
Mark, cross.
That's what you do in a town of 500.
Biden. Trump, So, but my point is, Walker, they're going to be able to find if there was fraud in the election by doing a manual recount. Am I right?
Yes, yes. A hand recount should discover any irregularities. And the Georgia Secretary of State also said they're going to do a full audit of the election, which an audit is a little more in-depth review, more than just counting.
Yeah.
They're going to actually do sampling.
Are they going to do it,
like
this
that.
Audit? Is it going to be done prior to the certification?
Yes, it's going to be done during the recount.
So the Secretary of State of Georgia says this manual recount of 5 million plus votes will be finished by?
Should be a week from tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah, I think this should give Americans, assuming, well, no matter what the results are of the recount, it should give people some kind of guidance as to how things are going. Was there really irregularities? Yeah. What kind of scale was it? Things like that.
Yeah and this Fox News story says that President-elect, that's what they're calling him, Fox News, not me. President-elect Joe Biden leads in the state by just over 14,000 votes. So if after this recount and audit, it's 13,000 votes or 15,000 votes, you know, somewhere in there, then I think most Georgians will make a
be
sigh
satisfied.
Of relief.
They'll be satisfied. That,
okay, that's close. There might have been a few, you know, handful of.
I'll tell you another thing. If, in fact, the Georgia is able to recount 5 million plus votes in a week, it's time for the rest of the country to quit calling Southerners slow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think we need to say, look here.
Same thing with Florida.
Yeah.
You know, Florida had it all done.
Quit calling us slow.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, speaking of Georgia, last night, Tucker Carlson, one of three or four conservative voices still on Fox News, he did a profile of several Georgia voters who all had one thing in common. They're dead.
Well, wait a second. How does that happen?
Some of them have been dead for over 10 years. Anyway, I'll let you give you a little bit of what Tucker Carlson was talking about last night. Cut six.
Auditors will find a ballot cast by a woman called Deborah Jean Christensen. Those who knew her were sad when she died last May, and they might be surprised to learn that even after her death, Deborah Jean Christensen still managed to register to vote and then cast a ballot, presumably for Joe Biden. James Blaylock of Covington, Georgia. Mr. Blaylock was a mailman for 33 years until he passed away in 2006. James Blaylock cast a ballot in last week's election. Neither rain nor snow nor gloom of night nor even death itself could keep him from the mail. In his case, maybe voting from the grave wasn't really fraud, it was just commitment. Linda Kessler of Nicholson, Georgia. Linda Kessler died in 2003. 17 years later, she was still voting in presidential elections.
Now that's dedication. I just got to tell you.
Yes.
Well, after I die, I'm not voting. I'm sorry. I don't care what you guys say about me.
Yeah. He's, you know, I'm obviously Tucker Carlson tongue-in-cheek in all of this, but it raises a very serious point. Millions and millions of absentee ballots sent out to lists, registration lists that are not accurate. Somebody got the ballot with these people's names on it, filled them out, and sent them back in.
Yeah, my understanding of how some of these voter registration systems work is there's the front door, if you will, is wide open, meaning, you know, when you register to vote, you get in the system, your name gets added, where you live is added. But then once you get in the system, as far as someone managing that system and making sure there's accurate information in there, unless the voter informs the registration, the Secretary of State's office is what it is, that there's an address change or something like that, or a family member has passed away, if there's not a person putting that in, it doesn't really get changed. So that's why you have, for example, you'll have someone in an apartment complex get four ballots, all for four people that used to live in the apartment there, but they no longer live there. So it seems like these states haven't developed a good way of keeping accurate rolls.
Yeah, and this is, and of course, now the examples that Tucker Carlson was mentioning last night, there were a lot of them, but I don't know that there are thousands. We don't know who they voted for, so we do want to be fair.
You want to guess?
Well, if I was a betting man, yeah. But here's the thing. The hand recount, I'm guessing those people, that list of names that were on Tucker Carlson's show, those votes would be stricken. I don't know. I'm just – those votes would be struck from the tally.
We'll know.
Yes.
Won't they know? Won't next week or whenever they'll say, yeah, we had – 1,743 deceased people who
they
cast
should.
Votes.
Yeah,
that
right.
kind of
should
thing.
Occur.
If the voter rolls are clean, so here would be the problem. If they're going according to the voter rolls, they pull up the vote, and they see that there's a name on there that matches, but they don't know the person's dead, they'll
right.
count it.
Yeah, this you would think by now, with our country being around for 200-plus years, that these state legislatures would come up with some kind of system to put in place where every 4 years they do a full audit and review of the voter registration rolls and purge them of dead voters or people who've moved out of state.
I don't get the Baptists to help you.
Yeah. No, we'll have three committees.
Three committees and you won't clean up any rolls.
That's right.
Put people on the rolls for
in some jurisdictions, I mean, it's the law that when a person passes – the funeral home or whatever the case may be has to send a copy of the death certificate into the state.
Right, right.
And that's supposed to be input because that's the way any kind of checks that you're getting from the state are stopped.
Yes.
Or, this is a novel idea, you just bring your driver's license on election day and you say, and when you get your ballot, they say, sir, is this your current address?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, yes, it is. And mm-hmm. then she goes, okay, thank you. Or if you say no, then she says, well, what is your new address?
Yeah.
And then you update it in real time.
You're just trying to suppress the dead
vote. I know.
The dead vote.
That's what you're just trying to do, requiring a driver's license. You just want to keep dead people from voting.
I know. It's bad. I'm sorry.
So Walker, Ed's accusing you of wanting to disenfranchise dead
right,
people.
That's right.
Okay.
Somebody has to.
Well, I tell you, what's a mess is, and I don't know how exactly you clean it up, but we all states need to look at this, although many controlled by Democrats like it this way. This mass sending out ballots by the millions to an old a mailing list from 2 and 4 years ago is just, you're asking for big trouble. Yes. Is what you're asking for. Let me bring in Alex McFarland here. Dr. Alex McFarland. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great. I'm praying for America.
Hey, how did that work in North Carolina, your home state? Did the
voter ID laws?
Yeah.
Oh, it's as sloppy as can be. I mean, well, for one thing, the voters about 8 years ago voted by like a 9-to-1 margin that the voters of North Carolina said, we want people to show a government-approved ID when you go to vote. And, of course, there was a big, you know, dust-up. Oh, that's racism. You're trying to suppress minority votes because to require people to show an ID before casting a vote is just onerous and oppressive. And
why
so,
is it racist? I know you don't.
Well, it isn't. I mean, you have to show an ID to get a prescription, for goodness sakes.
Black people have driver's license like everybody else or my other minorities.
When I've seen them interviewed, like Man on the Street,
yeah.
they usually get offended that people think they aren't smart enough to go get a driver's license or other government ID.
Right.
Well, actually, yeah, you're right. I mean, socialism, government entitlement, you know, welfare is very demeaning and dehumanizing and condescending. But an Obama-era judge struck down something that was legally put on the books by the voice of the people and said, no, you don't have to show an ID. And, you know, when Angie and I went to vote in the presidential election, you know, just, you know, 10 days ago, whatever it was, you walk in there, honestly, all they ask you is your name. They hand you a pad and you sign your name. I mean, I didn't want to do this, but you honestly... a total stranger, you could walk in there, any one of you could have walked in just stated your name and been given a ballot and gone to vote. I of course, had my voter ID card, because when you register to vote, you get in the mail a voter ID card, plus you have your driver's license. In North Carolina, honestly, anybody from anywhere with nothing but verbally saying, I'm here to vote, and you're in. It is the most mismanaged. But see, you've got to understand, folks, that's the way the liberals want it. Because I think the perception is the conservative Republicans, you know, a vast majority of whom are Christians and are people of good faith and honesty, they know they're not going to cheat. They want a big, wide-open funnel where anybody that wanders up can merely walk in and vote.
Let me ask you guys about this approach. Again, I'm preaching to the choir for the reasons that Alex just laid out, in part at least. Seems to me the way you avoid this problem, like we've had in Pennsylvania, for example, of, you know, dealing with millions of ballots that come in with dead people voting and those kinds of things, bad voter registration rolls, is you have people either show up in person to vote with their ID, i.e. driver's license, for example, like we've done forever here in the USA.
Right.
Or if you want to vote absentee, you request a ballot, right? You request a ballot. So if you don't request a ballot or you don't want to go in person, because some people do need to vote absentee, either you're going to be traveling or you're too sick to get out or you're injured. You know what I'm saying? There's many sure. reasons why people have to vote, can't vote in person. But you solicit the ballot yourself instead of the other way around, where the government right. just sends out ballots all over the place.
And you should have to put your driver's license number on the top of the ballot that you send back.
Yeah. Now, what are the ballots that you cast where you have to have a witness?
Well, I think the only time you have to have a witness is if you're going to apply for an absentee ballot on behalf of somebody.
Gotcha.
You at least have to have a signature, some sort of, you know, you have to...
Like an affidavit or some legal document saying you are authorized.
Yeah, but that's a very small number.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is all these battleground states are controlled by Republican legislatures, so a little bit of a bloody nose for them. On the other hand, let me be fair, I try to be fair, you have a situation like Alex just said in North Carolina where a Republican legislature passes a common sense law and then an activist judge strikes it down. So it's they really can't win when they try to change the voting system. I do want to mention, too, that Project Veritas, I think this was around the 2018 election, maybe 2016. The elections are just flowing through my head like sand now, but... Project Veritas
in an hourglass.
Hourglass as the world turns.
Yes.
Project Veritas, which Fox News called that far right activist organization. You remember they went to? Yeah. They were in a state. I want to say was up in the Mid Atlantic states or Northeast, and they pretended undercover with video. They went to vote, and they asked, "Can I vote? I'm an illegal." You remember that? They had a half dozen instances where they said, "I'm illegal," and the watcher, the poll or the person signing people in said, "It doesn't matter. Go ahead and vote." And actually said, "You mean, but I'm not legal. I'm in the country illegally. It doesn't matter. We don't care."
When did that happen?
This was either 2018 or 2016. It was stunning footage that Project Veritas showed. I want to say it was like Connecticut or something.
Yeah.
Also, you have these places, states and governors and legislatures, and we're all, you have to take a look at this post-pandemic vote. Alex, you can comment on this if you want to. But if you have a place that's where everybody's a Democrat, right, or if you want to put that in reverse, everybody's a Republican, the poll watchers are all Republican, are all Democrat, I know you're supposed to let the other party in to observe, but I'm just saying, if I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying that that is lends itself to fraud.
Yeah, that's the scenario you're talking about is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania,
where they're all Democrats.
Yeah, all the poll watchers, not the poll watchers, all the poll workers, all the election officials, all of the
all one party,
all of the district attorneys, all of the mayor, the police chief, everybody's a Democrat.
Right. I mean, it's you got to have somebody other than the fox,
right,
guarding the chicken coop. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Go ahead, Fred. Do you have a question for Alex, or want to present the next story to him?
Yeah, very quickly, you're talking about voter irregularities. A lot of people, or the mainstream media, I should be saying, are saying, you know, President Trump, why don't you just, you know, just say it's all done. Go ahead, Joe Biden. You be the next president. Well, it's because they're working through so many cases of voter irregularities. And Kayleigh McEnany was on Fox this morning. And unlike Neil Cavuto, she wasn't cut off when she gave details of what's being investigated. Cut one.
There will be a number of affidavits filed today. First is an individual who said they received a vote by mail, did not request one, went to the polls to cast her ballot, was told, sorry, you can't do that. You've already voted by mail. She didn't fill out the ballot that she received by mail. She merely discarded it, thinking it was a mistake. But nevertheless, that vote was cast. So there's those kinds of accusations. And then separately from that is a big systemic equal protection argument. And it's this, that in seven counties, Democrat-leaning counties, if they received your ballot in advance, it's illegal to open those ballots until Election Day, the mail-in ballots, but somehow they were determining which ballots were not accurate, which were not properly done, and telling voters to fix them in advance in those seven Democrat counties. But in 60 other counties, these voters were not given the same opportunity to fix their ballots.
That was in Pennsylvania.
Alex, that sounds pretty serious right there.
It is serious, and let me say this. It's not over. I realize, believe me, I realize it would take the intervention of the Lord for Trump to be given a second term. Did you guys see Mike Pompeo the other day? Just as with as much confidence as I've ever seen anybody exhibit, he said the president will have a smooth transition into his second term.
Right.
I don't know, but I just have a sense that America is embroiled in the most intense spiritual warfare. I really do. And I've said this in media interviews, and I would say it here. Look, if the president lost the election fairly, hey, fair enough, fine business. But we as the United States of America, we are not some banana republic in the third world. We're the USA. We deserve, and I believe we must insist upon honestly tabulated elections. And I just urge people to pray. It's not over. The media can't presumptively decide the electoral result, and they can say president-elect all they want. Biden is not yet the president. And folks, please pray, and please don't give up. We might, with God's help, still have an honest election in 2020.
I think we'll be able to tell a lot by the Georgia manual recount. If that shows fraud enough to change the election, then I'm thinking you got to look at some other states to do a manual recount,
right?
Too. I don't know what the laws are for, let's say, Wisconsin. I know they have to do a recount, but is that a manual recount or is that a machine recount? You've got Michigan,
Arizona.
You got some states that are so razor thin that a manual recount, I think, will make a lot of people have more confidence.
Yeah.
In the results.
With multiple sets of eyes watching.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Fred.
Pray for America.
We'll be back in 5 minutes, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.